And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Praise God. Praise God. We have so much to be thankful for as the people of God. So much that God has done for us. It's just amazing to think how much our God loves us. We're so thankful that you all are here. We have a lot of guests with us here. Echoing what Kevin said in the announcements this morning, a lot of our members are back that weren't here. It's good to see you all, but we have a lot of visitors with us today. Thank you all for being here and worshiping our God together. There are a couple of visitors here that I know really well and I've known for my whole life. My parents are here this morning, and I'm so thankful that they were able to come. They got here Thursday night, and they've been able to stay, and we've got to spend a lot of time together going and enjoying the scenery up here and enjoying you all. And my mom said something yesterday. I don't want to share it with you all. I really like it. She said, we were riding in the car. I don't remember exactly where we were, and she said, you know, it's really cool being a Christian, because you can go anywhere that you've never been before, and you have a family there. And that's a testament to you all. I love you all so much. You guys are a huge blessing to me, but that's a testament to God. And one thing that we have to be thankful for from God, for each other. We have each other that we can come together on every first day of the week and see throughout the week, and we can grow with each other, encourage one another, and just enjoy being with each other. And I'm really thankful for that. Thankful for you all this morning. Go ahead and open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. A couple of weeks ago, we started a series, I said, that we're going to be talking about this idea that we find here in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's just read 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 says this, "Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness." And we talked about how the other translations, namely the New American Standard, will translate that as discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. We're talking about that, for the purpose of godliness. What does that mean in our lives? And a couple of weeks ago, we talked about using today for the purpose of godliness. Whatever day that you're in, use that day for the purpose of godliness. Well, I want to go a little bit beyond that today and talk about spiritually disciplining yourself for the purpose of godliness and what that actually means. That word discipline. We talk about discipline in a lot of different ways, but I want to focus on it in a way that I will admit to you all, it's not explicitly stated how I'm going to present it in the Bible. But the concepts that we're going to be talking about are so intricately woven into Scripture that we really need to consider how to use these spiritual disciplines that I want to present on how to purpose ourselves for godliness. So let me give you a couple of examples of what I'm talking about. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 at what Paul says. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 in verse 24, Paul would say, "Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run in a way that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." Paul was a disciplined man. He did a lot of things in his life that required discipline to follow God, and he was purposeful in doing that. And no matter the consequences, he was going to discipline himself for godliness. And we see all the struggles that Paul went through at the end of 2 Corinthians and the things that he had to go through, but that didn't slow him down. He kept pursuing godliness. And we don't have time to look at all of the examples in Scripture, but you think about people like Daniel. Daniel was a very prayerful man, and he was so prayerful. Prayer was so connected to his life that no matter the consequences, he was going to talk to God. Even if it meant he was going to be eaten by lions, he was going to talk to God. He was disciplined in prayer. You think about God whenever he established the king and the responsibilities of the king of Israel. And one of the things that the king was supposed to do was to write down the law and then read it every day. They were supposed to be disciplined in knowing the word of God every single day. You think about other people in the scriptures, like Joseph. I love Joseph. Joseph is one of my favorite characters to read about because Joseph was just a phenomenal steward. He was just a great steward. You think Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, and he lost really everything. And throughout his life, he gained things and lost things and gained things and lost things. But no matter how much he had, he used that to glorify God. Whenever he was put over Potiphar's house, he was a good steward of those things. When he was thrown in prison, he was a good steward. Whenever he became one of the leaders in the prison, whenever he was put over the nation of Egypt, he was a good steward of that. And he was disciplined in doing that. You know, the Christian life, it requires a lot of discipline. Requires a lot of thinking, a lot of wisdom that we talked about. But we need to be purposeful in doing that. And so what is this spiritual discipline that we're talking about? Well, let's start getting more specific here. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, later on in this chapter, look what Paul has to say. I'm going to read this section here that I have up on the screen in 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. See if you can see the pattern that Paul is trying to get Timothy to see. In verse 12, he says, "Let no one despise your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching. Do not neglect the gift which you have, which was given by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers." You see what Paul is saying here? Persist in this. Immerse yourself in this. Practice this. Devote yourself to this. Spiritual disciplines are things that consume your life, that should define everything about you. And so when we talk about spiritual disciplines like prayer and Bible reading and serving and being good stewards, does that define who you really are? Or is it just something that you kind of do every once in a while? And so we want to talk about how we need to do that every single day. And whenever we get done today, these are some things that I do in my personal life that I find effective for me. And it's a tendency for some people sometimes to say, well, that works for you, but I have my thing. And so there is some truth to that. Everyone is not the exact same. But I don't want us to go away thinking that, well, that's Jonathan's thing. I might try it out just a little bit, maybe dabble in prayer life every once in a while, but I'm going to resort back to my own thing. We need to be open and honest with ourselves about, are we really pursuing godliness? Are we disciplining godliness personally? Me, am I doing that? And so that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. It's something that we devote our entire lives to, that we immerse ourselves in. And I think one of the best ways to see exactly what it is by looking at what it's not. What is spiritual discipline not? I'm just going to put all of these up on the screen and we'll talk about them so y'all can see them. The first thing, and some of these might sound a little strange at first, but spiritually disciplining yourself is not to improve how others think about you. And that's interesting because Paul says in this chapter here, in verse, well, let's see, where is it? Verse 15, he tells Timothy to practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. But that's not the purpose of why Timothy is doing that. People will notice if you spiritually discipline yourself for godliness. That will be apparent as you conform to the image of God. But that's not the reason why we discipline ourselves. It's not for cognitive improvement. And this one's a really kind of hard one for me. I like to learn a lot of things. I like listening to podcasts or reading books or things like that so that I can understand more. I like learning. I really enjoy that. But that's not why we discipline ourselves. That's not why we're spiritual. It's not to gain more knowledge. That will happen. The more that you read your Bible, the more you will learn about God. But that's not the reason. It's not to impress God or others with your spirituality. It's not to go and you start praying every single day and then you think, wow, God is really lucky to have a really prayerful person like me. Does that remind you of anybody in Scripture? Of the story that Jesus told of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And the Pharisee was so proud of all of the wonderful things that he was doing for God. But what does Jesus say about that person? They're wrong. That's not the purpose. Even though they were doing all of the good things, their purpose was to impress other people and to impress God. And you won't get very far trying to impress God with yourself. You'll find that you fall woefully short of where you need to be. And this last one is not to have better religious performance. I've kind of struggled with this idea in my head, but we don't pray, we don't read the Bible, we don't give, we're not servants so that we can be better people. Not originally, not our main focus. Our main focus should be something entirely different. That is a good goal to have, to improve our religious performance, to become better Christians. But look over in Deuteronomy 28. Look in Deuteronomy 28. I love the book of Deuteronomy because Moses has a lot of fantastic points that he makes showing who God is and who we need to be because of who God is. And in Deuteronomy 28, Moses would say this in verse 1. He says, "And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all of the nations of the earth. And all of these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb with the fruit of the ground and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out." Notice, Moses acknowledges all of the blessings that are going to come, but he doesn't say, seek those blessings. He doesn't say, you're doing all these things to get these blessings. Look what he says in verse 1. He says, be careful to do all of his commandments and faithfully obey the Lord your God. That reminds me of something that Jesus would say in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, in verse 33, Jesus says it like this: seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Our purpose for spiritual discipline is to seek God, to know God more, to get closer to God. And other things will happen when we do that. We will become better people. We will become better in our religious performance. We will develop our family relationships. You'll be a better husband if you seek God. You'll be a better wife if you seek God. You'll be a better child if you seek God. You'll be a better friend if you seek God. And you'll strengthen yourself. Your soul will be strengthened if you seek God. But our purpose needs to be seeking God and getting closer to him as we discipline ourselves. And so these concepts that we're talking about, we really need to sit down and think when we're doing them. Am I doing this because I love God? Or am I doing this because I want others to see how good of a person I am? Or I want others to see how spiritual I am? Or even, I just want to be a better person. Those are good things, to be good influences on people, and it's good to be a good person. But do you love God? Is that why you do the things that you do? Is that why you spiritually discipline yourself? And so these disciplines that we're getting involved in, they need to be habitual things. And that's hard sometimes. It's hard to discipline yourself every single day and make it a habit. I've heard that it takes 21 days to make a habit, to make it stick, and it takes 21 seconds to break a habit. Just that split second of you decide, I'm not going to do that anymore, now it's gone. And you have to start over with the 21 days again. But it's a daily process of spiritually disciplining ourselves. Look in Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, the writer says, For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Now, I know in the context here, we're talking about a father disciplining their son and similar to God disciplining his children. But this concept can be applied very easily to our spiritual disciplines of ourself. Discipline is not fun. It's not an enjoyable thing. And I think that's for a number of reasons. It's one, because we go into discipline and spiritually disciplining ourselves with the wrong expectations. Sometimes we think that whenever we spiritually discipline ourselves that it's going to be this wonderful, amazing, awesome experience, and we're going to be so happy all the time, and it's never going to be hard, and it's going to be just an amazing experience. But that's not always how spiritually disciplining yourself works. Sometimes it's hard to force yourself to get up in the morning and before you go to work to pray to God. Sometimes it's hard whenever you get back from work at the end of the day and you're exhausted from a long day at work to read your Bible. Sometimes it's hard to take a meal to someone, to serve someone that's in need. It's never really convenient to discipline yourself. And going into the spiritual disciplines with the expectation that it's all just going to be sunshine and daisies, that's not how our lives are. And so we often fall short in disciplining ourselves daily because we have the wrong expectations. I also think there's an excuse that I hear sometimes, and I think it gets a lot of bad rap, but it's sometimes valid that people say, we just don't have time to spiritually discipline ourselves. Sometimes that's valid. Sometimes that makes sense. There are only 24 hours in a day, and you can't make a day any longer. 8 of those hours are usually spent sleeping, and then the other 16 hours, or there's all kinds of things happening in your lives. You have your job, you have kids, you have your spouse, you have things that you're committed to, you have other groups, and all these things are pulling at your time. And sometimes you just don't have time to read your Bible. Sometimes that's a valid excuse. But if you don't have time in your day to seek God, something needs to change because of how important seeking God is. If you're valuing things in your life and you really don't have time, maybe that's true. Take something out of your schedule. I can promise you that there's something in your schedule that's not as important as seeking God. And so take that out of your schedule. Make time to do that. And sometimes it's hard to spiritually discipline ourselves because it doesn't seem really like it's leading anywhere. Sometimes you read your Bible, and then you forget what you read the last day. I do that a lot. I have a terrible memory. And I just think, like, why do I read my Bible if I know I'm just going to forget it later on? But down the road, I really, you all know that I'm here and working with Scott, and I'm here to learn from Scott, but also to work with you all. And I love studying with Scott, and I know you all know Scott a lot better than I do. But Scott, it almost seems like he has his Bible memorized in, like, 5 or 6 different translations. And it's incredible to me because I can't do that. And I asked Scott one time, whenever we were in a study, he answered a question really, really quickly that I had no idea how to answer. And I asked him how he knew how to answer that, and he said, I've been preparing for that question for 20 years, that specific question. Sometimes whenever you're reading your Bible or praying to God, it doesn't seem like you're getting anywhere. But there's always progress. The act of doing the actual discipline itself gets you to where you're going. And sometimes it's hard whenever you don't see that actually happening. But we realize that it must be an everyday thing. Look back in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, that verse after the first one that we read, after disciplining yourself for godliness, Paul says, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. I find it really interesting that Paul says that physical training is profitable, that it has some value. For those of y'all that don't know, a while ago, I think it was about 2 years ago, I was a personal trainer. I worked in a gym, and my job was to meet with people, find out their fitness goals, and help them reach their fitness goals. And it's interesting that the most successful people weren't the ones that were there every single day at the gym. They were the ones that did things outside of the gym as well. And they were purposing themselves to meet their fitness goal every single day. Whenever we aren't fit physically every single day, even the most menial tasks are just really difficult to do. And we experience the thing called atrophy, right? Muscle atrophy. I've experienced muscle atrophy before, and it's awful. Your freshman year of college, people will say that you're going to experience the freshman 15, which is you gain 15 pounds when you go your freshman year. Well, I experienced the freshman 50, and I didn't gain 50 pounds. I lost 50 pounds, and it wasn't the kind of 50 pounds that you want to lose. Whenever I blew my knee out and I had reconstructive surgery, I couldn't walk for about 2 months, and I didn't use my right leg. It didn't move at all. And it was disgustingly skinny after those 2 months. Because all the muscles were just gone. And that happens when you don't use your muscles in your physical body. And I had to retrain myself, not just how to walk, but how to move my leg. Even in a simple thing like moving my leg, I had to start from scratch. That's what happens in our spiritual lives. Our spiritual muscles can atrophy. And that's a dangerous thing because it's hard to get back into where we need to be. And if you don't read your Bible every single day, and you don't pray every single day, and you aren't serving people every single day, and you're not constantly looking to grow every single day, you're going to start atrophy. We need to be active every single day. And sometimes, even though it's hard, even though it's difficult to make that a habit, sometimes we have to do those things just because we said we would. Even though they might not benefit us in that instant moment. We just need to keep our word and do that. Sometimes you might have to wake up and read your Bible in the morning just because you said you would. Sometimes you need to pray to God just because you said you would. You might not want to, but because you said you would, you need to do that. Sometimes you need to knock on your neighbor's door and tell them about Jesus just because you said you would. One of the disciplines that I want to bring up and talk about that I find really interesting is this idea of self-examination. We're going to talk about that later on, but examining yourself, if you're really honest with yourself, is never an enjoyable experience. It just never is. But sometimes you need to sit down and consciously think about who you are and who you need to be just because you said you would. We need to discipline ourselves every single day. So what are some examples of spiritual disciplines? I'll put all of these up on the screen. This isn't a complete list of everything, but these are some of the things that I see in Scripture that I think are the most biblical ways that we can discipline ourselves for godliness. These are some of the ways that we can grow closer to God. And the first two are kind of self-explanatory. Bible intake. How are you going to grow closer to God? Read the Bible. Meditate on the Bible. Learn about God through that. How else are you going to do that? Praying. Talking to God every single day. Discipline yourself to talk to God every single day. And that solitude idea, being alone with yourself, examining yourself. We do that every first day of the week whenever we take the Lord's Supper. But do you do that continually throughout the week? Do you examine who you are? It's easy to forget who you are once you leave the church building, to forget that you're a Christian. I understand that. But do you remember every single day? Solitude. Evangelism is a spiritual discipline. Going out and telling people about Jesus. Serving other people. Being a good steward. Fasting. Fasting, I find, is a really interesting concept. It's something that gets overlooked a lot by Christians today. But I think fasting is such a wonderful tool that God's given us. And we don't talk about fasting enough. In Matthew chapter 6, look how Jesus talks about fasting. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I do want to bring this up. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus mentions three different disciplines. Some of them are listed up here that we need to be involved in as people of God. And look in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. He's talking about giving. Verse 2. Talking about giving, he says, "Thus, when you give to the needy..." Here's how you give. He says when you give, not if you give, if it's convenient for you to give, if you find the time that you want to give. He says when you give, here's how you do it. In verse 5, he says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. When you pray, here's how you do it. Not if you pray, not if you decide that prayer would be a good thing for you today, but when you pray, here's how you do it." In verse 16, "And when you fast," not if you fast, but when you fast, here's how you do it. I think we overlook fasting a lot in our lives, but Jesus fasted to get closer to God. We have examples of other people in the Bible fasting to pursue godliness. And I think that it's a really valuable tool, and we'll talk about that later on in the year as we start exploring these things more intimately and seeing how to implement them in our lives. But these are some spiritual disciplines that we need to be involved in. And doing these things will help us to grow. They'll help us in a lot of ways. They'll have a lot of benefits. First and foremost, we'll learn to know God more and we'll love God more. The more that you read your Bible and the more that you see the amazing things that God has done, how can you not love Him more? The more that you pray to God, how can you not love Him more? The more that you examine yourself and see who you are and see who God is, how can you not love God more? The more that you serve other people, like Jesus served other people, how can you not learn to love God more? Doing all of these things will help us grow in our knowledge of God. And we'll develop things on the outside, too. We'll have stronger families. We'll have better moral behavior. We'll increase in wisdom. And it'll help us to find peace. But we need to make sure that we're doing these things to grow closer to God, to discipline ourselves for godliness. Look in Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, Paul is speaking to the men at Athens. And he's walking through the city and he sees all of these idols to all these different gods. And then he sees an idol to the unknown God. And he thinks, this is a wonderful opportunity. I'm going to tell you all about this God that you don't know. And in Acts chapter 16, in verse 24, look what Paul says. Acts 17, verse 24. "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man,
Nor is he himself served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined the allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling. This God is huge, who Paul is talking about. He made everything. He made you, and he doesn't need you, but he made you. And just whenever this God that Paul is describing seems so far out of reach and so amazing and someone that you can never be close to, I love what Paul says next. He says in verse 27, this God made everything and he made you, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. This God that we're seeking, that we're purposing ourselves to seek more, he's not very far away from us. And he wants us to seek him. And these are some of the ways that we can seek God and grow closer to him and develop our relationship with him. And so we're not going to talk about those specific things now, but I just have a few practical tips to get started. And all of these relate to each other. Practical tips on disciplining yourself now for godliness. The first is that you don't have to be a master of all of those things that are listed there. It's a tendency for me whenever I get a list of things that I want to finish the list right now and get amazing at it and become just wonderful at all of them. You don't have to leave this week and then become the most prayerful, most amazing, read your Bible, have your Bible memorized. You take every opportunity 100%. You're always serving people because you'll overwork yourself, and that's a good way to get discouraged. You don't have to master all of those things now, but you do need to make definitive progress in doing that. Whenever I trained people in the gym, a lot of times my first session that I would have with them is we would meet together and we talk about where they wanted to be long term, what their long term goal was. And people wanted that now. And they wanted to lose, like, I want to lose 100 pounds and I want to do that tomorrow. Well, you can't lose 100 pounds in one day, and if you try, you will kill yourself. So don't do that. But in order to reach that end goal, you need to constantly be working towards that. And so set reasonable goals for yourself. That works in your spiritual life too. So maybe you don't read your Bible at all. You never read your Bible. Set a goal tomorrow that you're going to read 2 chapters. And then the next day, set a goal that you're going to read a book. And then the next day, you're going to read that book again. Just set small goals for yourself. Make definitive progress so that you will eventually become really good at some of those disciplines and you'll grow closer to God in that way. And as it relates to that, there's a phrase that I heard, start with low-hanging fruit. And I find that a really interesting fruit. Whenever you're going to pick, or an interesting phrase, when you're going to pick apples, the apples that are on the bottom of the tree taste just as good as the apples up on the top of the tree. You don't have to climb all the way to the top of the tree to grab the apple that you want. Do something that's attainable for you whenever you're thinking about disciplining yourself. And it might not be attainable for everyone else, but what's attainable for you? And so I have a practical, really, really practical thing for us here as a group here at Gettysburg. There are a lot of people here, and I'm thankful for you all this morning. We have a lot of members that come and worship on Sunday mornings. But when I look back at the board of our attendance, we have a lot of members that don't come back and worship on Sunday nights. That's a very attainable, low-hanging piece of fruit to grab onto as you start disciplining yourself. Come back and worship on Sunday nights. We do those things that were listed when we're here together. We read the Bible. We pray. We grow together. We discipline ourselves while we're here. And I promise you, if you start coming on Sunday nights, you will become a better person for it if you're really trying to discipline yourself. So that's a piece of low-hanging fruit, something practical that we can start doing as we're moving towards godliness, disciplining ourselves for the purpose of godliness. Because that's our end goal, to seek God, to grow closer to God. And God has given us each other to help us do that. As we wrap up this morning, I have a story that I want to share with you all, something that was shared with me. I really enjoy history. I like history a lot. I'm not a history nut. I don't know all of the facts and all the dates and things, but I like hearing stories in history. And there's a story that I heard that I really, really like. There's a man, Major Winters, who was the leader of the major of the company of Easy Company in World War II. And I heard an interview about Major Winters from one of the people that was in his company. And the man said this: during the war, major winners would end up doing this. He would get up every morning, and the very first thing he would do is he would always shave. Most of the time, infantrymen in the war don't shave. But for Major, it was a part of his self-discipline that he thought was just instrumental and absolutely required. He would still end up doing his push-ups and his sit-ups, and whenever possible, he would go on a run or a walk to maintain his physical fitness. But on top of all that, he would shave. I don't like shaving, as you guys can tell. I have facial hair. Shaving is just really annoying to me. But Major Winters would shave. Do you think that really made a difference for the Nazis that they were fighting? Do you think the Nazis cared if they were shooting a clean-shaven man or if they were shooting a scruffy-looking man? Well, no. But the reason why he shaved was for self-discipline. Major Winter's men were the men who were the group of paratroopers that fought their way through Normandy, that they fought through the Battle of the Bulge, and they made it all the way up to Hitler's Eagle Nest in the Bavarian Alps, and they were instrumental in winning the war. And I think that's largely to do with Major Winters, because of the type of person he is and because of how disciplined he was. Major Winters wasn't in that war just to survive. He was there to thrive and to be successful and to win. As Christians, we're in a war every single day. Are we just in that war to survive? Because if that's our only purpose, if we're just trying to not die as Christians, you're not going to get where you need to be. We're in this war to glorify God, to seek God, to grow, and to win. And so we discipline ourselves every single day for the purpose of godliness. And I'm prayerful and I'm hopeful that you all will be able to encourage me and that I'll be able to encourage you as we move forward as a group in disciplining ourselves for godliness. You can go ahead and take your songbooks out. If you haven't disciplined yourself for godliness, it's a really hard and difficult thing sometimes to do that. And maybe the first step that you need to take in disciplining yourself for godliness is becoming a Christian and giving your life to God. I can promise you that's the best decision that you'll ever make in your life. Sometimes being a Christian is hard. A lot of times it's difficult. But you will never make a better decision in your life than giving your soul to God. I want to read one last verse together in 2 Timothy chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, I love how Paul says this. To Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 verse 12, he says, "I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me." I know who my God is, and I know that my God can keep my soul, and I know that he is bigger than all the problems that I have in my life. And I know that if I discipline myself to know him more, that he will draw nearer to me. And he will do that for everyone who loves him and draws near to him. If you need to give your life to God this morning, and you need to be baptized into the waters of baptism and put on the new self and become a Christian, please come forward and do that now. All together we stand and sing.